Good morning, boys and girls. Let's turn to Hebrews, the chapter 11, and we will go a little further today and look at the next verse in the series that we have been conducting on the subject of faith, mighty faith. The verse we're going to look at is the verse 13. Verse 13. It's all part of the follow-on from the earlier verses regarding the faith of Abraham and his wife Sarah. And here in the verse 13, we're considering not only that these two individuals, but all in the Old Testament days. Let's read it. You ready? We're going to read then. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, that is, not having received that which had been promised. They hadn't received the things that God promised to those who believed in him. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, I want to make a special appeal to you all in the light of this verse, especially the older one. I want you to learn and to understand what is said here. Many Christians are confused and indeed don't really know how the people who lived in the times before Christ came, the Old Testament days, were converted. They don't know. Christ hadn't come. Their knowledge of Christ that you have set before you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the epistles, that wasn't set before them in such detail. So how were they saved? They didn't know that the Savior would be called Jesus. They didn't know that. They didn't know the wonderful miracles, the parables that he taught. They didn't know these things. So how were they saved? I'll tell you a story. I remember this happened in America. I was staying in a home of a very dear friend, and we were having breakfast one morning. And I'm not sure how the topic of how the Old Testament saints were converted came up, but it came up. And the man of the house, as I say, a very dear friend, said that they were saved as a result of the offerings they made before there was a tabernacle. They were making offerings on altars. You read about Abraham building altars and Jacob building altars, etc. And then there was the tabernacle and the offerings there, and then the temple and the offerings. And this man said that's how they were saved, by offering these offerings, the lamb, the heifer, the bullocks, the various other animals that God required them to sacrifice. That's how they were saved, he said. No, that's not how they were saved. They were saved through believing the promises God gave of a Savior who would come. And the discussion got quite hot, till it reached a stage where I felt I can say no more. It's not going to be profitable to go on like this. So I said no more. But that man was only repeating what he had been taught in his early days, for he attended a brethren assembly, a brethren church, and he had been taught what is called dispensationalism, which basically means that there are different dispensations of God's mercy and grace, and in the Old Testament, the saints were saved through the offering they made. That's not right. There's only one way of salvation, past, present, and future. Jesus said, I am the way. And the sacrifices of the Old Testament, when the saints brought those sacrifices, they were basically saying, Lord, this lamb is a picture of the Lamb of God who one day will come to save me, shed his blood as a sacrifice for my sins. And this lamb that I'm offering is a picture of my faith. As I lay my hand, as you have required, upon the head of the sacrifice, so in faith I am resting on the promised Redeemer. The Old Testament saints weren't saved by the offering of the sacrifice, but the offering of the sacrifice was a picture of the faith they had within their heart regarding a coming Savior. The sacrifice was only a token of the faith they had in the coming Redeemer. And that's what this verse here is all about. These all died in faith, not receiving the promises. They died without ever having seen the Lord Jesus or heard the full details regarding him, but having seen them afar off. You can go outside the school here and you can look at the playground. And if there's a ball being played with, you can see it clearly. But lift your eyes up and look away to the mountains. There may well be sheep on that mountain, but you can't see them at that distance. You can only see vaguely what's on the mountain. Maybe some trees, the colour of heather, maybe faintly a house, because everything is in the distance. Well, that's the way it was with the Old Testament saints. They heard the promises given by the prophets, but they were not as clear and distinct as that which we read in the New Testament, where the truth of God is brought close to us, and we can see more clearly what it is God has promised. So they died in faith, not having received what was promised to them, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, I want us to notice first of all today, in the few minutes that remain, how that the Holy Spirit here defines just exactly what the faith of the Old Testament saints was. Because the Old Testament saints had faith. They shared in the faith that you have. If you're a Christian today, if you're saved, you're saved by faith. And the Old Testament saints likewise were saved by faith, but their faith was not quite as clear as that which you should have, because you're provided with more information than they were. However, they saw the promises of God, our text says, having seen them afar off. They saw the promises of God. What God had promised to those who believed in him. And seeing them, we're told, they were persuaded that these promises could be trusted. You see, when you hear the gospel, God expects you to think about it. Examine what he said. Say to yourself, as it were, can I believe God? Can I trust God? Does God keep his word? And when you think about these things, you'll come to only one conclusion. Yes. Yes, God doesn't tell lies. God doesn't break his word. He's true and faithful. And that's what the Old Testament saints did. They were persuaded that what God said was true. And then it says they embraced them. They embraced them. Put their arms round the promises of God. If somebody tumbles into a river and they're drowning, it's customary near water to find lifebelt with a rope attached, so that if you do see someone fall in, you can take it off the hook that it's on and you can throw it out to them. And what do you expect them to do? Grab it with both arms and you can pull them in and they're saved. Well, the gospel is God's lifebelt, which if you are to be saved, you've got to grasp, you've got to embrace with both arms, just like the Old Testament saints. They embraced them, and having embraced them, they confessed. They spoke openly that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What does that mean? Well, very simply, I hope that if you're saved today, you can say, this world is not my home. All that happens in this world is not to my liking. I'm not part of it. I'm only a pilgrim going to heaven. That's my home. I'm a stranger here. All that's happening around me is strange to me. I'm not at home here. If you're among strangers, you're not at home. You're not at home. You're not one of them. That's how it was with the Old Testament saints. Once they saw the promise of God, even though it was far off, they saw it. They believed it. Were persuaded that what God said was true. They embraced it. And they said, now we're changed. We're not part of this world anymore. We're saved. And we're traveling to that place God has promised. And we're strangers here. So the Holy Spirit teaches us here through this word, this verse, just what the saints of the Old Testament believed. And how it was they believed. They saw the promises of God. For us, the promises of God are set forth in the gospel. What you're listening to is what God has promised to those who believe him. That's what the gospel's all about. And explaining what it is God has for those who believe in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 20 says this, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God. All the promises of God, all that God promises to us are set forth in Christ. They're all in him. And what's more, as Paul says, they are yea and amen. Which literally means they're certain, they're yea. If somebody says something to you and you say, are you sure? Are you certain about that? And they say, yes, they're saying yea. Yes, what I say is certain. And the promises of God are certain. They're sure. They're yea. And they're amen. The word amen means simply, yes, that is so. And the promises of God, God will keep. He is faithful to his promises. And all the promises bound up in Christ are sure and certain and will be kept. And that's what the Old Testament saints believed. They were persuaded of the truthfulness and the certainty of God's promise. What God says, boys and girls, is worthy of your faith. Paul the Apostle wrote this, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 15. I hope you know this verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Worthy to be accepted by everybody. What is it saying is worthy? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that is something, Paul says, is faithful and worthy to be believed, accepted, embraced. That's what the Old Testament saints did. They saw the promises of God, they thought about them, they pondered over them, and they said, I'm persuaded what God says is true, and I'm embracing, I'm believing. Now, as a result of that, it says in our verse at the very beginning, they all died in faith. As they approached death, they were resting in what God had said. They died in faith. I can just imagine the deathbed scene of some of the Old Testament saints. Maybe a son or a daughter or a wife, if she were still alive, said to the man, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? You're about to die. How is it with your soul? The Old Testament saint would have said, don't worry. I'm believing in God's promise. I'm resting back in faith in God's promise. That's how the child of God dies. That's how they die. They die in faith. They die believing. These all died in faith. They were fully persuaded of what he had promised. And what he had promised, they believe, he was also able to perform. The Old Testament saint died believing, God will keep what he has promised and which I have believed. I will enter into that which he has promised to me. That's how we get to heaven, boys and girls. Do you understand? It's a bit of a mystery, I know. And it has puzzled men and women. Indeed, the greatest brains that ever have been have puzzled over this. But those who believe God stop puzzling and they rest content, believing. Listen to this. This is Peter. Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Please, let me underline some words there. Great and exceeding promises. That's the gospel. That by these promises, not by church going, not by taking communion, not by baptism, but by the promises of God in the gospel, we might be partakers of the divine nature. If you believe the promises, something wonderful happens. You're born again. You're born from above. And there is put into you a new nature. A nature like that of God's. A holy nature. A holy nature. And as a result of that, we escape the corruptions of this world. Do you hope to get to heaven? Do you hope to escape hell and God's eternal judgment? Do you hope to escape? Will you not escape if you have not had this miracle wrought in you as a result of believing? That's why the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. No man can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. That's what Peter's talking about here. This wonderful change. Then finally, it says they all died, not having received the promises. Boys and girls, that's how Christians depart this world today. When my time comes to leave this world, I'll have nothing in my hand. I'll have no part of that which God promises in the gospel in my hands. I won't have received heaven. I won't have received all the things that God says he's going to do for those who believe in him. But I will die believing that I will go and enjoy those things God has promised to me. But I go to receive them. Not having them now. Now, what have I got? An aging body, feeling, declining, strength and health. You young ones, you're full of bounce. I often look out through our kitchen window at you and you're galloping about the playground there, just springing about, full of bounce. You don't even realise that's what you're doing. But I'm looking down at you and I'm saying, I remember when I was able to do that, but I'm not able to do it now. No matter how much I might feel like doing it, can't do it. The muscles will not do what once they did. I'm failing. Declining. I haven't got in my possession what God has promised to me. But when my time comes to leave this world, I will do so believing that all that God has promised just awaits me on the other side. That's how it was with these Old Testament saints. They hadn't received the promises, but they believed they one day would. Death for the Christian. And you need to know this, because in the world, you know, nobody talks about death. Oh, to mention that. I remember a lady being very cross with me when I was burying a man at the graveyard in Ballinamallard. She was cross because I talked about death. What a stupid woman she was. Yeah, we were standing in the graveyard, and if you didn't watch yourself, you'd trip out over gravestones. She didn't want anybody to talk about death, because in this world, not believing God, not believing the Bible, they don't want to talk about death. But we can talk about death. As Paul says, death is but absent from the body to be present with the Lord. When we die, the body stays, but we're gone to be with the Lord if you're saved. If you're saved. But you know, boys and girls, let me quickly close now with these few words. There are times in the year when we get presents. Not just one, but maybe two, three, four, five presents. From daddy, from mommy, from brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends. And there's a number of presents. Now, you can't open them all at once. You go from one to another. That's how God sets out for us the presents he has promised us. When we die, we open a present. We find ourselves in the presence of the Lord Jesus and enjoying what I can't describe because it is more than we can ever imagine. It's peace and joy. Yes, I can say that. But it is peace the like of which we can't imagine. It is joy the like of which we can't comprehend. That's what we open as a present as soon as we die. That's what awaits us. That's why the Christian, in truth, may long for death because of what lies beyond. But that's not the end of it. There are more presents to be opened. when the Lord Jesus comes again, bringing with him all those who have already died and gone to be with him, he'll bring them all with him when he returns. And then those Christians who are still alive on the earth, together with those who have died, will have another present opening. For when he comes in a moment, the bodies of all the saints, those still alive, those who have died, will be raised out of the grave, reunited with their souls, and all the redeemed will be glorified, made to be like the Lord Jesus. They'll carry his image, his likeness. I can't go any further than that in explaining what that will mean. It is so glorious. But that's another present. But there's yet another present. You see, as I said, that's God's way in dealing with us. Not everything at once, but step by step. Here you are in school, learning certain matters, but you've gone a little further than the first row, and you are learning other matters. But behind you there are those whose heads are bursting with knowledge, for they have gone further. Now, it's impossible to teach what is known in the last row to those who are in the first row. Well, God's way is the same, boys and girls. He doesn't give us everything at once, but as I say, we are presented with presents which we open one at a time. And the final present will come in eternity, when after the saints have been glorified at the return of Christ, there will be the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then after that there's the judgment. The wicked will be judged. The earth, as it is today, will be burned up, and a new heaven and a new earth will be thus generated. And we shall enter into that eternal state forever with the Lord. And we will have opened the last present. That's how it was with these Old Testament saints. They all died believing, I will open all the presents that God has promised. I haven't opened them all here. I've only entered into a little of what God has promised to me. But there awaits me in eternity even greater blessings. Do you understand that? They received the promises, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. I'm asking each one of you now. I'd love to go down and look you right, each one in the face, and say, have you embraced the gospel? Have you reached out and taken what God has offered to you? I think of the feeding of the 5,000. The Saviour took the fish, took the bread, just what would have filled his hand. And miraculously he was able to distribute from that small portion that which fed the 5,000. And he sent it out to them by the hand of his disciples. And there they were, sitting in groups on the grass. And the disciple held it out. And what were the people expected to do? Take it. And I'm holding out to you the gospel promise, as perhaps Sunday school teachers and preachers that you have listened to in the past have done to you. Have you taken what has been offered? That's the question I leave with you. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless your word today. Give understanding. Make clear, Lord, what I can't make clear, struggle as I may. May the boys and the girls take in what God has to say to them. May they be persuaded. May they believe him. May they embrace, take hold of the wonderful promise, knowing that from this day they are strangers and pilgrims, going to that which God has promised to give them in eternity. Bless our school. Bless our teachers. Bless our pupils. Bless our parents. Remembering those who are unwell just at the present time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.